Welcome to Strange Magic. I am Amanda Yates Garcia.
And I am Sarah Faith Gottesdiener.
And today we are here to talk about the lovers. Making choices, relating, finding union, the lovers card. The lovers deals with that fundamental force of the universe, attraction. It's about energies meeting and sacred connection and collaborations. It's also about choices and making them. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast because we are going to be announcing the winners of our listener review raffle. So we have something very special and exciting for all of you guys out there. Sarah and I were having conversations about what we wanted to do for the new year. And we both wanted to like work with tarot and set intentions and do some releasing work around lessons that we learned from 2018 or maybe lessons that we failed to learn, things we wanted to let go of, things we wanted to call in. We were like, oh, we really want to do that work together. And then we thought, why not have a class about this? Why not make it into a workshop that we can do collectively with all our peeps out there?
We are going to be doing a New Year's / setting intentions workshop that we're really excited about. It's going to be virtual, so you can tune in from anywhere online. It is going to be January 6th.
Yeah, which is a Sunday. We're going to help you understand cards of the year. We're going to work through tarot stuff. We're going to have ritual offerings.
It's just going to be a lot of fun. And the really awesome part is not only are we going to be having about an hour and a half long class about all this stuff, but you can then download worksheets that we're making for you, as well as meditations that you can use forever. And the good thing about this workshop is, you know, we're really going to be centering it around new beginnings and intentions. So you can utilize the information that we talk about and cover, not just at the new year, but anytime you want to kind of create a new cycle in your life.
Yeah. So it's like information that you'll be able to use and access anytime. You can revise it for whatever purpose that you want. But what I'm really excited about is that it's genuinely stuff that I want to do and that Sarah wants to do and that we will be doing. It's stuff that we both find really, really helpful. And so we're super excited to share it with you guys because, as every witch knows, all magic is about intention setting. And so once we do this, we can do anything.
And we're really, really excited to get to meet some beautiful listeners out there. We can't wait.
Yeah, I'm super excited because it'll give us a way to like be able to connect with people and have like direct questions. And I'm so excited to find out what people's intentions are and what work they're ready to do.
For more information, you can click the link in our show notes, or you can go to modernwomen.bigcartel.com.
And just a reminder, this makes a great gift for anyone who is getting gifts for their friends or their loved ones or themselves. So please sign up. We're excited to work with you.
It's going to be great. Here at Strange Magic, Amanda and I talk about our views on tarot and the ways in which we practice magic.
And we understand that other people have different ways of practicing and different interpretations of the tarot, and that's totally okay.
Take what you'd like and leave the rest. This episode of Strange Magic is brought to you by Angela Mary Magic. Do you ever need an experienced witch to whip you up a spell? How about enchanted supplies and seasoned assistants accessing your inner knowing? Angela Mary is just that witch. She offers a beautiful array of magical supplies and services. Her most tender and personal offering of her life is Mooncoven, a year and a day of spellbound rites. For all the other divine details, head over to www.angelamarymagic.com. That's magic with a K. Lucky Strange Magic listeners receive 70% off of Mooncoven. Just use the offer code STRANGE. So here we are.
Here we are.
All ready to go to talk about that amazing card.
Already kind of in love.
Already kind of in love. One of my faves. It's the Lover's card. It's number 6 in the major arcana. In most versions of this card, you're going to see two figures. Generally, it's a man and a woman standing naked. Generally, with some kind of magical angelic figure standing between them, with the exception, of course, of the Marseille deck, where there are two women with a man standing between them, and there is a little Cupid figure hovering above them. This is an important change and difference in tarot history to point out here. The original Marseille-style decks that were made in the 17th and 18th centuries in France were quite a bit different than this more popular figure that we see in the Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith that was made in the early 20th century. Some of the changes that Arthur Waite and Pamela Coleman-Smith made to the deck can be seen in this card. It's one of the most striking differences in the Major Arcana depiction of the card.
Yeah, often they're in kind of a Garden of Eden sort of situation where there's a snake climbing up a tree with apples and an angel behind them with wings giving a benediction. In the Marseille version of the deck, one of the oldest versions, there's a guy standing between two women. And he's having to choose between essentially what is the sexy girl and the virtuous girl. Sometimes people think it's between his lover and his mother, but one of them is kind of buxom and lusty looking, and the other is kind of older looking and more dour, which is why people say like sexy or mother or whatever. But basically it comes down to having to choose between his libido and his intellect. And the wisdom of the card in my mind is that that is a false choice. The real power of this card is in the synthesis or navigating the polarities between the two. So fundamentally for me, I see the Lovers card as being about maturity. It's through encountering the other, dealing with our desires and our fears of abandonment, our longing, our rough edges, our deep listening and partnership is how we become mature. By being together, we expand our worldview. The Lovers card does not just have to be about sexual relationships. It can also be about partnerships of all kinds, friendships, business partnerships. Ultimately, it's about growth and commitment.
Ding! I also want to point out, going back to kind of our little mini history lesson, that the Lovers card was called Choice. So it was like there was this change with the popularization of the Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith going from Choice to Lovers. So I think that's like a very different take on an archetype. And so we can kind of think about that as we're talking about this card. You know, I think about the Cupid in the three figures below and the original sort of Marseille deck. And then that morphs into this huge angel that is, Paul Foster Case has called it Raphael, the archangel. In Hebrew, the word Raphi means to heal. So I think that's like a beautiful take on that. There are two figures naked. When I personally see naked figures in the tarot, I think of vulnerability. I think of this is an expression of people being at their most kind of essential, vulnerable, undefended state, right? So there are these two figures naked. In the background, we have the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. So we kind of switch from like, you know, libido slash passion going to like rational thought, like you were saying. We have the snake in the background as well, which I think is a very important symbol. They are in a sort of true utopia. They're in the Garden of Paradise before everything went to H-E-L-L. You know, they're in this beautiful place with knowledge and attraction and creation and connection.
So interesting, because anybody who's been in a relationship knows that it can be heaven and it can be hell. You know, that like love can cause you the most exquisite, rapturous feelings and also the greatest kind of torture that one could ever experience. And it's all kind of bound up in this card. So, you know, we're just going to get into some of the basic lessons. For me, this card represents a union of opposites. Two polarities brought together in love, which is the true vehicle for energy to move through the universe. Love is, you know, the force that brings things together. And what I love about the Lovers card is because the Lovers is where we get kinky. It's where we get messy. It's where we get into gray areas. And we like it like that. It's the places where two ecosystems come together. And that's the place where the most interesting things happen. The most complex plants and animals evolve in these liminal spaces, these borderland territories that the Lovers speaks to. It's about bringing things together and seeing what happens.
I love that for sure. For me, this card is one of the queerest cards in the majors. One, because we really see strongly the power, the beauty, the significance of going beyond the binary. Why? First, we see the three in the Hierophant, the card right before it, right? We see there's two students and a teacher or Pope and their disciples. We see the triangle starting. However, in the Lover's card, it is lateral. There's no kind of master or like authority or hierarchy happening. So three is incredibly important because three goes beyond the binary. And we all know that the binary is a construct. The binary is not real. We also know that binaristic thinking harms us. We're human beings. We are on a spectrum. We're not right or wrong. We're not either or. So whenever I think of the Lover's card, I think of one of my favorite poems by Rumi, and it begins, "Outside of right and wrong, there is a field. I'll meet you there." This card sort of reminds me of that. I think of all of the ways that the binary can harm us, not just as queer people, not just as trans folks, not just as non-gender conforming folks, because all of us are on a spectrum. We all have rainbows and masculine qualities and feminine qualities and qualities that we can't explain inside of us, right? We're not just one or the other. It also makes me think of the tenet from Plato, this idea that I don't agree with 100%, but I like this idea of we were split in two. It wasn't just heteronormative. Plato expanded it to be like, I'm a man looking for my man, or I'm a woman looking for my woman, or I'm a man looking for my woman, or I'm a woman looking for my woman. I can see it also as finding who we need to be and integrate it with what we need to feel whole on our own. And so then when we find ourselves, when we're open, when we're ready to engage, when we're ready to love with others, romantically, sure, but just like intimacy in general, right? When we're ready for that, we have sort of a gateway of communion as sort of like represented by the angel above the heads, all of these possibilities. So I think that in short, this card can present to us a range of being with lots of possible options. It could be not just romantic love, but it could be platonic love. It could be creative love. It could be loving, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that Rumi quote about this idea of like meeting together in the field. Because when I think of the Lover's card, I think about two units, two beings coming together in some way, or sometimes more than two. But one of the things that I think is really special about that is the idea that when two things come together in union, it's not about bringing them all down to a middle ground. Like, for instance, it's not about making things gray, but about making it so that each individual is the most spectacular version of themselves as possible. So I feel like the Lovers presents us with this opportunity to encounter another. And really, we get to really celebrate that person for who they are without trying to be like, you should be more like me. Or we should become this sort of codependent unit where there's no distinction between us. But instead about really celebrating the things about ourselves that make us unique, and then also celebrating that about the other as well. And so I feel like when the Lovers comes up, it's often asking us to do just that. So in order to do that, you know, speaking of poets, Rainer Maria Rilke talks about the idea of lovers and young lovers kind of flinging themselves at each other and being in this state of perpetual falling. They like cling to one another and the ground drops out from beneath them and they just fall through the sky. But that mature love, real love, is about guarding the solitude of the other and becoming world unto oneself. Like guarding the planet of the other as that planet evolves and becomes more and more complex, more and more interesting, and then kind of building a bridge between those two planets. And so I see the angel in the Lover's card as that bridge, that connection to the collective that touches on these two very individual, special, awake, aware, complicated beings.
Totally. I love all of that. When you are in a relationship with someone, no matter who it is, no matter whether it's your most romantic, intimate partner or partners, or a friend or a family member, I think it's always important to think about the qualities and the energies of your combined relationship together. and seeing that almost as a separate entity. Because when we're able to kind of fully engage with one another with vulnerability, and when there's sort of that allowance of, as you were saying, Amanda, okay, I'm going to let Amanda be Amanda's most spectacular self. Well, what does that need? One, space, respect, trust, engagement, deep listening. When I can give you that and I can then step into being myself as fully as I can be, then what develops is something sort of more beautiful and more amazing than what we could imagine. You know, the lovers for sure takes into account other people. Absolutely. It takes into account patterns and interactions and our emotional needs. I also do think, though, substitute just the word relationship, right? It could be about the most important relationship of all, right? One of you with yourself. So I think sometimes when this card shows up and you aren't necessarily focused on, say, romantic partnership or wanting to date, or you're not in a relationship, this card can be an opportunity for you to look at what is going on with you and yourself. Are you loving yourself? Are you being unconditional with yourself? Is it time to kind of shed an aspect that you're ready to move or morph? I think changeability comes up a lot in this card. Is it time to have a threesome with yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, rearrange different things? It could be time to explore an area of curiosity or try new ways to be creative.
I love that idea of the lovers, that we could actually call the lovers relationship, and that we could call the lovers partnership, you know, that there's other ways of thinking of the card, the lovers. I mean, I also think, and we've mentioned this a little bit before, but it's very much about choice. So how do you make choices between your desires and your fears, for instance, which comes up so much in relationships? And later on in the Major Arcana, we see the same lovers, the same two figures appear again in the Devil card, only this time in chains. And I think that that really speaks to the idea of, you know, making decisions based on fear rather than based on desire or love. So I see the lovers as being about liberation, recognizing that we are free and we can do what we want and that we are in relationship to others. So we can be free and we can be in relationship to others at the same time. So the lovers ask us to navigate between our own desires and personal and collective responsibility. From the perspective of Jungian psychology, we might think of this card as the individuation card, bringing the unconscious into consciousness, becoming more fully yourself in a world that wants to mold you and tell you how to do things. When you get the lover's card in a reading, it's almost always about someone else being in your life and you being called to become more fully yourself, more responsible, more mature in relation to them. And I think the more mature I get, the more I'm able to have successful relationships. And one of the reasons that we have challenges in relationships is because it's difficult for us to negotiate our boundaries, and it's difficult for us to know what is us and what is being imposed on us. And also, it's really difficult for us to take responsibility for the choices that we make. I should say, for me, when I was younger, I found that true. And, you know, my mother always says that hermits don't grow, which maybe we could get into more in the hermit card. But I think what she means by that is that it's in our relationships to others that we grow the most, that we are challenged the most. Like when we're on our own, we can just do whatever we want. But when we're in relationship to other people, we really have to take other people into consideration and also take responsibility for our own actions.
Mary Kay Greer really informed a mind-opening interpretation of how I relate to this card. And unfortunately, I cannot remember which one of her workbooks, but it's in one of her workbooks where she's talking about this card provides an opportunity for us to either, one, see ourselves as mirrored in another person or by a situation with other people, or use interactions with others, whether they're positive, challenging, beautiful, difficult, as a place for us to step more into our own power and use it as a springboard to figure out what we want or what we need or what we think, right? And so, like, for example, Amanda, you thinking something different than me doesn't negate, isn't better than, it's like, okay, here's Amanda's thought. I respect Amanda. I see value in it. I'm not super attached to it in an egoic way. I don't have the need to have to prove that my idea, just because it's different, is better or something like that. And so it was Mary Kay Greer that sort of got me thinking about, oh, great. Yes, I can use my interactions with others in any state, whether it's artistic or with my clients. And this kind of leads to sort of something I wanted to talk about with tarot readings, actually. So for me personally, when I was thinking about this card for this particular episode, I was thinking about how the Lover's card could be an emblem or a blueprint for how I give tarot readings, or how I kind of want to give tarot readings. In a successful reading, I am connected to source, to spirit, to divine, my intuition, my channel, i.e. the kind of strawberry angel that's hovering above the heads of the people, right? I have my tree of knowledge, all the reading and the research I've done about different cards and psychology and all of that stuff. Then we have the tree of life, life experience, vitality, spark, energy, so on and so forth. So these are the foundations, right? However, I also think the most successful tarot readings are as much about collaboration as they are about anything else. They're about leaving space for the client to share. They are also so much about active listening. And I think that's a really key component to this card, because I think about in our culture, how many opportunities every day are we presented to just be in an active listening zone with others, right? Usually we're just waiting for the other person to finish talking so we can react. So much of that is tied up in our ego and defensiveness, right? So like John starts talking, my ego goes on alert. I subconsciously start thinking about how I'm reacting in order to assert my dominance, or to keep up appearances, or to look a certain way, or to look good for John, or whatever, 100 times a day if I'm running on autopilot. But in a reading, one of my primary tasks is to listen very carefully to my client without judgment, with love, and to both hold space for what they're saying and to reflect back to them what they're saying, to be a loving mirror, to make them come to kind of their own conclusions about what they want and what they need through active engagement and listening.
Yeah, I love this idea about the Lovers as being mirror, like the Lover concept as being a mirror concept, and like how in relationships we see ourselves sort of projected onto the other person, but true love is about removing that projection and really seeing the other person or the other thing for what they are. And so, you know, speaking to that idea of true listening makes so much sense, because so whether or not it's seeing or listening, both these concepts are about removing oneself and really encountering the other for who they are. So that idea of seeing a thing is forgetting the name of the thing one sees. So I see that as, like, for instance, like, let's say I'm relating to you, Sarah. If I have all these ideas about who you are, you know, we do this in our families a lot, right? Like, we have ideas about who our mom is, or who our dad is, or who our lover is. And then when we are encountering them, when we're talking to them, we're imposing all these ideas about who they are. And we might not really be listening to who they are, not really seeing them, not really encountering them, because we're just labeling them and projecting onto them. And I think that's really important. As you said, like within the tarot reading scenario, it's really easy both ways. Like the Lovers could be a really great metaphor for the tarot reader relationship and for a relationship to tarot itself. Because when the reader comes in, or like when your client comes in, often, you know, they're going to want to project onto you what they think you might be saying, or what they hope that you might be saying. And it's just as easy as a reader to project your own experiences onto your client. And what's really important is that that does not happen, that instead you really listen and get yourself out of the way so that you can connect with that angel of spirit that is kind of hovering between you, that really wants to speak through you, because that is the voice of love, and that is the voice of truth, and that is the voice of the tarot. So when we're thinking about our relationship to tarot, like, it's so weird because we do project so much onto tarot, but also if we clear ourselves out of the way and really listen, we can hear that still small voice, which is in reality the voice of spirit coming through. And I think that's really what we're all trying to do. And this is a way of getting to know it better. Just like true intimacy is about really seeing, really paying attention, really listening.
I have tears of love in my eyes for you. That was so beautiful. I appreciate your brain and your thoughts and what you have to say so much. Thank you so much for sharing.
Well, you just inspired me so much to think about all those things.
It's a love fest over here, folks. I hope you can feel the love from where you are listening. Prioritizing love can be a challenge in this world, but it is integral to our survival. In All About Love by Bell Hooks, a book I love very much, she writes, "Knowing love, or the hope of knowing love, is the anchor that keeps us from falling into the sea of despair." I think it is so, so important to contemplate love, to act in love. It was also Bell Hooks who brought up an idea that shifted my life. Hello. Thank you, Bell Hooks. Thank you. Of just really cementing that love is an action.
Yes.
Do you want to keep
it? Well, yes, because I think that too. Like, I was just speaking to one of my clients about that book the other day because it has been so, so informative to my own practice. Like, we get really confused about love and we think it's a feeling of ardor towards someone. But that permits all sorts of forms of abuse because many of us have been in circumstances where someone will tell us, like, oh, I love you so much, and then turn right around and do something really harmful. Or even if we extrapolate that onto a larger political scale, when we say that, you know, the nation is built on love or justice or freedom or these grand ideals, but then turn around and see in action that is not the case. And so we get really confused. You know, if in your family, your parent is saying, I love you, and then they're hitting you, that's a confusing message. And then we take that into our relationships later. I think that this would be a really good segue into shadow sides of the lover's card.
Shadow aspects of the lover's card.
Okay, let's break this down. So for me, the biggest difficulty goes back to that choice, that exchange of information. When we come together person to person, our needs, wants, desires, and ideals can become confused and blurry. It's hard to know what's true and what isn't, what represents our authentic desire, and what is imposed on us by our culture or our family. Like, say, for instance, let's say your partner does something or makes a comment that you find disturbing, and it triggers you, and you get upset, and you get in an argument. You might not know what is real. Like, if it was that your partner really genuinely did something that was truly offensive and abusive, or if you are projecting onto that person based on all your past experiences and blowing something way out of proportion, and it gets really scary, right? Because you're like, I don't want to open myself up to being hurt. I don't want to hurt someone else. I think, you know, going back to that idea of projection and truth, like what is real and what isn't real, I think is one of the major shadow sides of the lover's card.
Yeah, totally, Amanda. This absolutely reminds me of one of the shadow sides of this card. I think this card comes out as sometimes being like the worst parts of the internet, like mostly via social media. So people are making judgments and projections on other people, then attempt to destroy them. We see this happening all the time. They misread things or they don't read things in the right way. And then they just start like a hate campaign and then it just spirals out and we don't even know if the person is even talking to the other person or just shouting into the void about their own issues. You know, I see that happening a lot with situations. I'm using social media because it's very easy, but situations where we're not being asked to pause, listen, come to a situation. In social media, we have the screen, so it dehumanizes people too. So a shadow side of the lovers could be not seeing another person as a human being, not seeing them fully, only seeing one aspect that you want to see or one aspect that's feeding your insecurity or your jealousy or your competition. I think that can be a real shadow.
I love that you say that. And I also am just thrilled to think about how what you're essentially presenting is also, you know, the antidote to that evil action is listening once again, like really paying attention rather than just shouting. You know, the Lover's card corresponds to Gemini, which is about the exchange of information. And exchange is exchange. It's not just a one-way street where we're just like offering information, but where we're actually listening and receiving as well. I also think of another shadow version of the Lover's card is obsession. Specifically, I'm thinking of crushes, infatuations, obsessive relationships that cause you intense suffering and longing. And as a tarot reader or as a spirit worker, you're going to hear a lot about those. You know, people coming in and having strong longings for people, and myself included. I've had that experience many a time. But so it's like this thing that you can't break away from. Like when you're constantly thinking about someone and like longing for them, and maybe they're not even treating you that well, or they've never really given you any reason to think that something further could develop between you. The Lover's card is teaching us to expand our world, to become bigger, stronger people, and to take ownership of our choices and our experiences. So like if you're obsessed with someone who doesn't return your affection and you're constantly thinking about them and cyber-stalking them and neglecting your own life and the things that you need to make you special, you know, the things about you that are great, because you feel like in order to get the thing that you want, you need this other person to do it. So like in order to feel loved and happy in your life, you need this other person. And I think anytime we feel that kind of hysterical need, we know that we're entering into the shadow side of the Lovers, because personally, I just don't think that the healthy version of love is going to make us feel hysterically out of control, you know?
Not unless we want it to. Not unless it's consensual, if you get right. What I'm saying.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I get you. I just think that's a really good point. I just think, you know, in my own experiences, times when I felt just like totally destroyed or annihilated by another person, or like a longing for someone, or thinking like I can't live without this other person, I feel like that's an invitation to come back into your own power and be like, yes, you can. And what is it that you think that this person is going to give you? Like, do you think they're going to give you access to music in a way that you didn't have before? Do you think that they're going to give you access to art in a way? Do you think that like this feeling of being in love, you can only get through that person? It's like that person becomes this magical talisman that you need, like Dumbo's feather for your life. And if you don't have it, you're going to plummet to the earth. And that's where that process of individuation, I think, comes in, of being like, well, if I love that this person is so, let's say, intellectual, then how can I cultivate that quality within myself and like be able to develop my world so that I can meet that person halfway? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, well, thank you.
Another way the card comes up in Shadowville, I think, is a resistance to what is actually happening and not accepting the truth, having toxic expectations. One thing I think that happens when the energy of this card has been disrupted or twisted is refusal and rigidity, defensiveness, as well as sort of going back to my least favorite thing, binaristic thinking, getting trapped in either or thinking, if then, right? Like, if this person loves me, then I'll be safe. When I get that raise, then I can exhale, and so on and so on and so forth. This is really harmful because obviously it takes our power away. It takes us out of the present moment and it inhibits our magic. So, you know, so, down with that
boo.
Ye old binary, RIP.
Boo binaries. Okay, let's talk about pop culture.
So I know that we're not totally yet number one on the self-help podcast, but I think a really good example of Lover's energy is this podcast.
Hells yeah.
There's three of us. It happened out of love. It happened out of us talking about things we were super interested in separately and together. And as we've come together, we've created something completely different than the three of us could have been able to do on our own. And it is from our uniqueness and our differences, as well as our fully formedness is, that we're able to make something enjoyable, fun, and creative.
I agree, and that makes me want to give you a box of chocolates and Carolyn a bouquet of flowers. I love that. I'm thinking about like the Argonauts, Maggie Nelson's book about her relationship with Harry Dodge. I love that this book is addressed to Harry Dodge, and it just goes through what it's like to start a family and to wrestle with the cultural expectations that people are imposing on them. Harry Dodge is trans. And so Maggie Nelson, who wrote the book, is like dealing with like outside people's opinions and also just the idea of love and how it sort of changes through the ages and the love that one has for one's child versus one's partner. So I think her book is complex and messy and supercharged and beautiful. And that's all of the things that I think of when I think of the Lover's card.
Yeah, I think a lot about creativity with this card, and I recently saw the Queen biopic movie, but I think of the band Queen in a couple of different ways. One is that a lot of their performances were very call and response and really engaged with the audience. According to the movie, I don't know if it's true or not because there were a lot of discrepancies and historical inaccuracies in the movie. So I'm not sure, but in the movie, they kind of created We Will Rock You so that the audience would clap and pound and create the backdrop so the audience would be kind of part of their performance. And then I also think of Queen as the band themselves. It could be any band. It could be any creative group. It could be a theater group. It could be, you know, a band of people, an army of lovers, as it were, all kind of coming together and making something together that is much greater, more enjoyable, more beautiful, more grandiose than they ever could have done on their own.
Yeah, totally. I didn't know that story about Queen, but it totally makes sense. Music is such a great example because you really do feel like you are in love with the musician. Like I always feel like that when I'm watching Carolyn sing on stage. But yeah, like I never thought about that before, about that call and response. But yeah, definitely I was thinking about the idea of the band and how so many great musicians and bands say that all these forces came together with all the different unique gifts that the band had as individuals and made something great. And then sometimes we often see that people then go on to do their own solo career and it lacks a certain spark sometimes. Not always.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, but a lot of the time there's just something special about that magical combination. Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
Another couple ones before we move on, I just wanted to sort of talk about your relationship to your past and future selves. I think all the time I tell my students, and I try to live by this adage, make your future self think present self. So make choices, make decisions, do things for your future self that will be helpful for your future self. Set yourself up for success by making choices, which we've talked about with this card as well. I also think about, as a creative person, making works of art that you needed to hear when you were 16, or you needed to see, or being the person you needed when you were 13 and all alone and depressed because you couldn't find any symbols of queer love or weirdos or whatever. I'm only speaking for myself, obviously, here. So I think about that with this card, communion, connection, and collaboration. They don't just come in tangibly, right? It can be sort of a lineage, or it can be an ethereal, or it can be spirit, or it can be spiritual.
I love that so much. I love that idea of thinking about your future and past selves. And from that, I would like to sort of expand that also to thinking about future generations and healing past generations and lineages and ancestors and descendants, both creative and genetic and communal. And so thinking about what we can do to bring love, to bring better lives to the people and planet of the future. What you're saying also jogs my memory to think about this writer who I'm really in love with at the moment, Kisei Layman, who wrote this book Heavy, and it's a memoir, and in it it's kind of a love letter to his mother, a very complicated, nuanced love letter. But in it he gets a recommendation for his writing from this elder in his community, and the elder says, always write to and for your people. And that really struck me, the idea of speaking to your equals, to your people, to your collective, and for them, on behalf of them. So that's something that I hear in what you're saying about, you know, the creative aspect of the Lover's card. And also thinking things that you can do sort of magically being the person that you wish to find. So if there's someone that you want to call into your life, or if you want to call in love, like cultivating love on every level, like loving listening to the plants outside your house, loving listening to your city, loving listening to music, loving listening to art, really paying attention, taking the world as your lover, and letting yourself become that magic being that you're looking for as the sort of key to open the door.
That basically leads us right into practical and magical tips and applications for the lover's card.
Woohoo!
Hopefully it's a little bit more than just the tip, if you know what I'm saying.
Dang!
We will love you. We will love you.
Sing it!
So we have love spells, right, Amanda?
Some of my favorite spells are love spells.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I just got up to one the other night.
my favorite love spell to do if you are looking for a very special lover is sort of a reverse love spell, where instead of trying to attract a specific kind of person to come into your life, it's more about focusing on what you need the specific person to see in you. So do you need someone to see how hilarious you are? Do you need someone to see how vulnerable you are? Do you need someone to be able to be committed to doing the work in therapy or whatever? So if we kind of think about our needs versus our wants or our projections, we end up setting ourselves up for even more success if we're going to be doing sort of a love spell, you know. But I also think I define love in such a nebulous fashion. So it could be attracting and working with a new herb, a new language, a new artist, a new way of practicing magic, letting love sink into your life in different ways to kind of enhance your life. And I also think about if we're getting to know, say, a new artist or, say, an herb or a crystal or an element, engaging with it, one, with curiosity, as well as courting. One of my friends and someone I look up to very much, Dory Midnight, talks about when you're trying to get to know a new plant, you court it, you leave it offerings, you talk to it, you listen, you let it come into your life in the ways it needs to come in. It's a new relationship. It's not like, oh, I need rose quartz because my heart is broken. It's like, wait, well, what does rose quartz have to tell me and show up, and what can I give it? And so it is, like you said previously, Amanda, an exchange.
It's like you're romancing the stone
or
the herb. Yeah, I love that because it also gets to the idea in magical practice how it's not just about what you're taking. Magic is literally about shifting your relationship with the world and making it a partnership or a collaboration. So oftentimes on your spells, you might say something like, I co-create with the universe. That is something like, Carolyn, you like to do that in your spells, right? So that's like about a collaborative process with the universe. Also, so for instance, like with love spells, I do a lot of self-love spells with people. One of the things that I advocate that people do is, you know, you get a candle, you anoint it. I'll let you use your imagination what you'd like to anoint them with. You can also just use the traditional essential oils, things like that. And you put flowers, you create a little altar to yourself and the self that you would like to become. And then every day for a full moon cycle, from the new moon to the full moon, you write 6 things that you love and appreciate about yourself. And then you read them out loud every day. And then you add 6 more. And that's a way of cultivating your relationship to yourself and starting to expand your appreciation for yourself. Because I think that we can extend that idea of love towards really being able to recognize and honor the hard work that we do in the world as individuals. And that actually helps us become more sort of empress-like, attractive, right? When we recognize the things that we love and honor about ourselves.
Absolutely. And like I said, we could talk about this card for another 3 hours, but our loving time is coming to a loving end. So we are going to thank all of you so much for listening.
Yes.
Amanda.
Woody.
We have some exciting news to tell everyone.
We do. What is it?
we have the winners of our Instagram review giveaway.
Yes.
We picked two people who are going to get a 30-minute reading with myself and Amanda. This was a contest that we decided to do a couple of weeks ago at the Hierophant episode. And we have the winners. So without further ado, do you want to announce yours?
I do. I'm so excited. My recipient of the half-hour reading goes to Kabanoki in Japan. Come on down and get your half-hour reading.
My winner is Weaven Grivers, and I can't wait to give you your 30-minute reading. We love you all so much, and so guess what?
What?
We are going to extend our giveaway.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited because I can't wait to meet more witches and hear what more witches have to say about us. My moon is in Leo, so I'm like, thank you for this 5-star review.
Well, it means so much to us because, like, honestly, we had no idea what was going to happen with this show. We just came together out of love and a shared interest in tarot and magic and community and feminism and art, and it just means so much to us from the bottom of our hearts that it's resonating with all of you. So we're doing this as a thank you. So we are going to extend the giveaway one more week. We are going to announce two more winners of a half hour long reading. All you have to do is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Please, please, please leave your Instagram handle. That is how we will be able to get in touch with you.
Yeah, that's how we're going to get in touch with you. And yeah, can we just, I just feel like I haven't told them enough how much I love them. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening.
Witches in the science lab. Witches in the backyard. Witches in the roller rink. There's a witch wherever you are.